We are joined on the line by our opinionated islander, Alex Stone. How are you, Alex?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm up here.
Nothing in the...
Yeah, and also we'll get some noise there for...
That's better.
Alan Knight, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
So, we've got you both here. Now, as has become the custom, Alex, we need to ask, where the hell in the world are you?
I'm in a boat shed in Whangarei today.
Lord, lovely day for that.
Yeah, at least you're indoors.
At least I'm indoors. Yeah.
Not a good day to be out and about.
No.
So how are the boat repairs coming along?
They're starting to move now, so this is all good news. We're coming up here on Saturdays to kind of help the boat builders along, and we're getting going on the repairs. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Alex got caught in rather a major storm in the Tasman a couple of months ago. Lost your rudders, didn't you, Alex?
Yeah, both rudders, and snapped off the centerboards. But the hull of the it's a catamaran. The hull of the boat are totally sound, and the structural integrity of the boat is intact and probably saved us. You know, it was good.
Now you've been moving around the country quite a bit. Have you had a chance to kind of keep up with what's happening around the island?
Oh yes. I come to the island every day to work. Interesting watching developments on the island. You know, and as always, writing for the Gulf News and the Weekender and so on.
I was just going through the Gulf News on the weekend. There really isn't much going on. The island really is in its dormant phase at the moment.
That's right, yeah.
Although, yeah. Of course, with only, a week to go until the nominations for local board elections closing, it does mean we can sort of tentatively start our exciting election coverage. Indecision 2016.
Yeah, indecision. Yeah, that's right. One thing I was going to say about the local body, I've had a bit of experience in Warkworth lately, and I can really understand why those Warkworth fellows want to get away from Auckland City. from the big to the small, they get nothing from Auckland City. Public transport in Warkworth, zero. Mm. And at the other end of the scale, the little plastic bags you get for dog poo? When you go to walk in the park?
We've come across them, yes.
Yeah, they don't have those either in Warkworth. So, and if you want to do any discussion about building in Warkworth, like building renovations and stuff, your nearest building inspector or planner is in Oriwa. So you've got to get in a car and drive for 20 kilometres to get to your nearest building inspector. This is the service the fellas have in Warkworth, so no wonder they want to clear out of Auckland City.
Good for them. Yes.
Yeah, good on them. Yeah. So we wish them well.
The de-amalgamation argument seems to have died away a little. We haven't heard nearly as much of it. I mean, there was a flurry a year 18 months ago, when the petition was being put forward, the submissions gone in. Our Waiheke group really seemed to have kind of dropped away. I'm sure they're still there, still working away on it, but certainly that's not something which is in the forefront of the news.
Yeah, they haven't been particularly noticeable of late.
No, I mean, do you think that will be an issue in the upcoming local board elections?
I think it should still be there. I think we should still talk about it. And I think there's still a lot of validity in what they were saying, So I think it should be an issue, yeah. What do you think, Alan?
Well, we don't know for absolutely certain yet that John Mewson is going to stand for the board. I imagine he probably will.
And
of course, if he does, then yes, it will have to be a major talking point around the election.
It would appear that Sheeran wants to stand again. I don't know if anyone saw the superhero pictures on...
We did indeed, yes. Sheeran, as far as we know, is the only person who is at 100% definitely running.
Really? I would have thought Paul would have said he put his hat in the ring.
Well, he hasn't actually said anything publicly yet that I'm aware of.
According to Sheeran, there were 8 nominations in. But I mean, it's unsubstantiated. I imagine there'll be, what did we have last time? 12 or so?
12, yeah.
Yeah, 17 the time before.
Well, yes, of course, the appalling overcrowding of the ballot on the 2010 election was a disaster. That's something we must never let happen again.
No.
And, you know, this is one of the things that I was thinking about, because I did think this time round about running for local board. I didn't think about it all that long, but it did occur to me that this time around I actually did have something that I wanted to say.
Well, one of those nanosecond decisions, was it, Alan?
Oh, no, I maybe spent about 10 days musing it and, you know, ran it past a couple of people like Chris here to see what everybody thought. And, you know, one of the first things everybody said was, yeah, but what happens if you get elected? Yeah, that would be a problem. No doubt about it. That's, you know, I wouldn't be running to actually get elected. But, of course, the thing that you have to bear in mind, you know, and this was the lesson we learned in 2010, was that when the ballot is stuffed with well-meaning progressives, they all end up tripping each other up.
Absolutely.
That if we hadn't had that sort of surplus 7 or 8 well-meaning progressives on the ticket in 2010, Andy Spence would have got on the board.
Yeah, he would have been good, I think.
Yeah, he would have been. And how, look at how different things would have been had he done so.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have had that whole, you know, that upset.
Interested to know who the right wing are putting up this time.
Well, I think we all are, yes.
And whether that'll be a sort of Trump candidate. It'd be quite, perfectly opposite for Waiheke to have a Donald Trump type candidate.
Well, we already have, of course. You know, it's,
who's our Donald Trump?
Well, you know perfectly well who is. A certain local blogger was actually very complimentary about Trump, although she appears to have gone very quiet on the subject since Trump has imploded.
Is a certain local blogger going to become our Trump candidate, do you think?
Well, we don't know. This is the thing, the writer being very quiet. But, of course, as we've seen before, the right really only muster about 30% support on the island and always have done.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would be dependent once again on the left overdoing it, having too many candidates and fouling their own nest.
Yeah, but you'd think they'd put somebody out. But maybe they feel so safe with Nikki Kay and co. Maybe they feel safe at a different level, put it that way.
The problem, of course, is that if you do stand on the island as a local candidate for the right, you have to go out and campaign. And that's never very easy. You know, local hustings meetings are rarely sympathetic.
Do you think that we've got to a point where perhaps the ability of the local board to have influence on what's happening on the island is reduced to, as you say, you know, do we have plastic dog doo-doo pickup bags
that
people to go, well, why bother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the core reason behind the breakaway. I mean, it's our island. We should be able to look after it. And some, you know, bureaucrats in neon-lit offices in Auckland shouldn't have ultimate power, you know.
But this is the thing, you know, the system was rigged from the word go. Now, when Chris asked me a week or so ago when I was sort of thinking about running, he said, well, obviously one of the first things I'm going to ask you if you come into the radio station to get interviewed on this is, what will you do if elected? And I thought for a moment and said, well, I won't be able to do anything. I'll be on the local board. I won't have any power.
Well, then, I bet you your answer would have been perfect, Alan. You could have said, I'll bluster and I'll try to blow the house down.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I can do that anyway. I don't have to go through all the indignity of running an expensive campaign, having to put my picture up all over the place, and attend meetings, and then if elected, of course, you have to spend the next 3 years sitting in rooms with council officials that you're not allowed to hit. Doesn't actually sound like much fun.
Yeah, forgive me, Chris. I've got the giggles here. I mean, is this good etiquette to have the giggles on the radio?
Oh, I'm glad that the thought of a night candidacy amuses you so much. Yeah, I find it pretty funny too.
The thought of you blustering impotently is what amuses me, because you usually bluster quite well.
Yes, well, you know, it's just one of those things that if you get on the board, really, do you have any power? I doubt it. It really doesn't appear to be after two terms now. We've sort of realised that. The game was set up in such a way that you get elected and not much happens.
Well, you could always run an Obama-style campaign and talk about the audacity of hope. You might hope that you might fix something.
Well, I think the best thing you could ever hope for is that, that at least you would act as some sort of focus for local feeling on issues.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think that's all the local board are now. They are beacons of hope.
So in the last election, you know, my take on it would probably be that the issue, which was the central issue in the election, was the role of the local board in representing local interests.
Yeah.
That seemed to be, you know, the crux issue, whether or not the candidates, you know, had a track record or had an intention to represent local interests and local viewpoints. What do you see? I mean, you know, we've talked about the breakaway movement, but of course that's a decision that the local board doesn't have any ability to make. What do you see as the issues shaping up to be the central issues in this election?
I think I think the perennial issue is unbridled development of the island. That there was that issue just a few months ago about those guys building those flats below Onaroa that blocked the view.
Mm.
But, you know, if those flats had been two more stories, they would have been that much worse. And I think we will see developments that will become steadily more inappropriate for the island. You know, the whole tourism number and, for me, that's the ongoing issue, is the development conundrum. How far do we go? Do we go too, you know, how flash do we need to go, or how high? You know, I think there will be
yep.
endless development pressure on the island. That's my, and I think there's still the basic environmental issues to be addressed. You know, the pest eradication project, I think, is a very good one, and it needs to be pursued. And the marine protection initiative needs to be pursued, and I'd like those to be big issues as well.
It would be lovely to think that that issues like the marine reserve and all of the other environmental issues on the island could just get a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, well, the pest project is going, you know.
They've
got $40,000 out of dock to start the pest project, and they're going to start with snouts. Because you've got to deal with these things in a certain order, otherwise you get what's called as meso-predator release. If you get rid of the cats and the rats do expand a wee bit and do more damage in the end. Mm-hmm. So you got to, and the order is soats, rats, cats, and mice.
I forget that's who it was. It might have been Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said that in nature there are only consequences.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you think you've solved a problem, but all you've done is create another one.
I wanted to put in my two pennies worth about the $28 million the government says they'll put towards pest eradication for the whole country. Did you see that story?
Yes, I did. Having done a fair bit of pest eradication myself, I'd say it can't be done.
Yeah, well, for $28 million, it's a laughably, ludicrously, cynically low number. The guys have been doing pest suppression, not eradication, just pest suppression in the Waitakere's for 30 years now. They've got a baseline number that says just to suppress pest costs $3 per hectare per year plus 3 volunteer hours. So look at $28 million over the whole country over 35 years. So it's less than $1 million per year for something like 30 million hectares. You can see how inadequate it is. It's just grossly inadequate. So there's one of these big feel-good things, but it's not a goal. It's just bluster, you know. This is the same government that, without debate, can choose to spend $20 billion on defence in the next 11 years.
Mm.
So the $28 million is a great goal, but Jesus, it's just not.
I don't know where that one came from. It was a pretty odd one.
There does seem to be a tendency, doesn't there, at the national politics level at the moment to pull things out of hats.
Yeah. The amount of analysis that went into that must have been less than 5 minutes in one tweet kind of thing.
Mm.
It's just...
But then again, that's kind of Donald Trump politics, isn't it? It's obviously catching on.
Well, when you think of it, we've been having our Trump moment for the past 8 years, haven't we?
Yeah. What's the first thing that comes into my mind? Oh, great, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll just tweet that. That'll work. Hey, just getting back to, Chris, you were saying local issues that you think are important. I think I've probably mentioned this before, but I'll keep on about it. For me, the thing that I will be asking candidates is, at what point does the dialogue begin with the tourism sector over the way in which tourism is simply not being managed? I'd say it was being mismanaged, but that would imply that there is some form of management going on, whereas there clearly isn't.
What are the specific issues? What, like taxi drivers ripping off?
Yes, all of these things. There seems to be no cohesive plan on how tourism is to be managed during the summer months. We had Fuller's saying, oh, you know, we can double up on sailings. We had Explore running as well. Didn't feel, though, like anybody had stopped to ask how many people the island can comfortably accommodate.
Yeah.
And all we really seem to be getting from the cargo cultists that run the tourism industry on this island is, oh, if you think last year was bad, next year's going to be even worse.
So you mean, when you say bad, they mean good?
Well, they mean good, but...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, most...
I mean, lots of people.
Most places are turning people away during summer because the island's so busy. One of the complaints I heard most often standing at bus stops over last summer was that people tried to get to places, realised that you had to have booked a week before to have any chance of getting in there for lunch, and now they were just sort of standing at bus stops wondering where the hell to go next. I think there is only so many times that you can bring people to the island, show them that, in fact, it's not as much fun as everyone keeps insisting it is.
Yeah.
And that we will put all this effort into tourism infrastructure only to find out in a few years' time that we're no longer flavour of the month.
Because you
only have to look at seaside resorts around the world, whether it's places like Atlantic City in New Jersey or my hometown of Brighton. There are places which become massive tourists. They have a massive tourist boom. Everybody thinks, great, this will last forever. And then when it doesn't, they're left sort of wondering, what do we do now? I was reading the other day about the island of Ibiza in the Balearics, which, of course, has been a huge party island for years. That's all breaking down there now because they simply don't have the water to support anything anymore.
They always become a bit tacky at the end of it, don't they?
Oh, absolutely! Yes, my hometown is a monument to tackiness. But it only survived because it actually has a genuine community that live there all year round and who do interesting things. But there are plenty of other seaside resorts in Britain, like Margate and Cleethorpes and Totnes and places like that, where everyone thought, the good times will last forever.
Well,
and we will never have this problem where suddenly it will become cheap to go to, Tossa del Mar on the in Spain and have your holiday there. We will find ourselves sidelined if we don't do this better. And I really think this ought to be an issue for this election, because if we don't tackle it now, it'll have to be next election, and you will have a population on the island who are even more annoyed about it than they are now.
You see, that's an interesting point. Your little phrase, at least they have a genuine community, because on Waiheke, I think we're in danger of losing genuine community, because the more and more fancy folk who buy fancy homes, they often become absentee landlords. They like appear in the summer and disappear in the winter.
And then you have houses that stand empty.
And when you get down to real working folk, I'm on the morning ferry and I see all the people coming to work in the supermarket. So people who work at the supermarket can't live on the island, you know?
That's right.
So, are we in danger of losing real community?
Well, no, I don't think we're exactly in danger of that. My worry is that as a community, we will spend too much time thinking that the good times are going to last forever, and when they stop, we'll wonder why we wasted so much time on all the tourism infrastructure rather than stuff that might have been a bit more use to us.
Speaking of good times that last forever, what do we think of the new supermarket?
I was going to say, we haven't touched on the new supermarket.
I think it's lovely, personally. I was walking around it on the first morning, just talking to everybody and feeling really happy and engaged with the whole thing. It really feels like they've over-delivered. All we really wanted was something that vaguely worked and didn't smell of rat pee. We certainly got that and more.
It seems quite nice and it seems fresh. And I found myself in the male grooming aisle the other day looking for a new pair of socks.
Well, that is a bit of a strange one, the idea that male grooming products would have any place on Waiheke Island.
I know, exactly.
Do you buy them? I don't. My idea of grooming is to examine the dog, and so long as I look vaguely cleaner and tidier than he does, I'm good to go.
Yeah, I thought that was the funniest thing, to find myself in the male grooming section, just looking for some socks.
It is a pretty fine supermarket. The thing that I found the best about it, the first morning I went in there, was the range of cheap reading glasses. I was almost emotional seeing that, because the only place you can buy reading glasses on the island are the pharmacies, and they charge a horrendous price for them, which is way more than I can afford for something which is going to get scratched and sat on. But, you know, for anyone who has got to that stage of their life where reading glasses are now a thing, you know that they are a very big thing. And to have the supermarket have a range of $10 pairs of reading glasses, I thought, now that is useful. This is something that we really need.
There was an interesting letter in the Gulf News. Some guy, Clayton, I think it was, he's talking about wandering through the supermarket, and his kids were a bit intimidated. They thought it was too flash.
Oh,
did you read that letter?
Yes, I did. I read it just now. Oh, well, you can't please everybody. When I was walking around there, there was a moaning old prune going, oh, I don't really like it. Oh.
Well, you can always go round to Big John's.
Yes.
It's just around the corner, the price cutter. Right. Yeah.
You preferred the old supermarket that smelled of rat pee.
You really need to pinch yourself and look hard at yourself when you get into these real first world issues. I had a little debate with someone the other day, and that person was saying the library is too big. And I was saying, if that's the extent of your problems, mate.
Exactly, yes, you must be leading
a pretty good life. Even to begin to complain that the library's too big and too good.
Now, I think, though, there is one thing that, of course, has surfaced with the new supermarket, and it is worth talking about, even though some people are going, oh, why do you have to moan about everything? And that's the traffic issues that are going to come in summer.
There will be traffic there. Yeah.
There will be horrendous traffic issues. Can you imagine on a busy Saturday morning, the Ostend market going flat out, the supermarket going flat out, and all the big insecurity mobiles that come to the island over summer, all grinding around trying to find a place to park, and buses trying to get through.
I've already noticed is this insecurity mobiles double park on the main road.
Well, yes, you know, if your black SUV is large enough, then you're entitled. I think we've discussed this before. It's like, look at how big my car is. I must be allowed to park there.
It's like the yellow lines down at the ferry roundabout, which are reserved for BMWs.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. It's happening at the supermarket. There's some sort of 5-minute drop-off spots just opposite the old bottle store. And there are three or four parkings in front of the supermarket there, and they're always taken. But the SUVs are now double parking outside of those in the road, you know?
Mm. Oh, I must admit, though, one thing I really do love about that whole development down there is the wooden walkway between the back of the supermarket and Putiki Road.
I didn't see that.
It's lovely. I haven't been across it yet because I feel it would be wrong not to do it properly. So I'm waiting for a sort of a warm, moonlit night when I can walk slowly across it playing a lute, which I think would be, you know, it would be the right way to do these things.
You could skip along saying in a dolly-o, what did they used to say in the old songs? In a hi-ho, dolly-o, you know, they always have that.
I have no idea. That doesn't sound like my kind of rock and roll.
And you need some cosmic fairies and elves tripping along behind after you. It'd be lovely.
Oh, no. They're more trouble than they're worth, I find. Cosmic fairies and elves, they're definitely more trouble than they're worth.
But Alan, there's a point, because the island is running out of these. We used to have a small collection of sort of gurus that wandered around. Didn't you know about Eric the Red and those kind of guys?
Yes.
And they always had a bevy of adoring cosmic woman.
Yes. The thing is, yes, that particular part of the generation who had a bit too much fun in the 1970s, that was never going to last forever.
So you're not going to do that?
No. I come from a town full of people like that, and I've actually no patience with them.
Yeah.
Guru is just a simple way of saying charlatan, in my view.
It could be your future occupation, Alex.
Not if Alan thinks I'm a charlatan.
The fish whisperer.
The fish whisperer.
All right. Well, we better wrap things up, but thank you very much for joining us, Alan and Alex. And next month, the nominations for local ball will have closed. We will know who is standing.
It's going to be fantastically exciting.
Next time we can discuss all the nominations.
Yes, it's going to be all on. So good luck with the boat building.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Alex Stone and Alan Knight, our opinionated islanders.
See you next month.